reading this morning is from Numbers, the 15th chapter. It's in the Old Testament, early on in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 15, beginning at the 37th verse. If you want to follow in your sanctuary Bible, which is under the seat in front of you, it's on page 146. And as always, we encourage you, if you don't have a Bible at home, to take this one with you. Make it your own. Fill your life with the Word of God every day. Numbers 15, beginning at the 37th verse. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Would you pray with me? Loving Father, our God, our Lord, I pray just now for our brother, our pastor, Wes, as he interprets this word for us by your Holy Spirit's guidance of him. I pray you would open our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive that you want us to remember and to put into our lives and do for your glory and honor. I pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
It never fails that as soon as I step up to speak, the throat begins to go. And I have this overwhelming fear that I'll end up having hiccups. Actually, someday I hope it happens so I can just work my way through it, you know, and just see what it's like. Some of you may have noticed as you came in today that there's a uniform hanging here from the pulpit. Some of you probably thought, well, Pastor Wes has probably confused it and thinks that we're celebrating Canadian Armed Services Day. But we're not. We're not. I wanted this uniform here to talk to you about this passage. And, you know, I've never had the privilege of wearing the uniform of a United States Marine. But I know enough about history, and I know enough about the Marine Corps to know that there's an awful lot of symbolism tied up in that uniform. When I look on the uniform of a United States Marine, it calls to mind heroism, integrity, duty, and honor. And when I look on the uniform of a United States Marine, I'm reminded of the countless sacrifices that were made on my behalf and for the behalf of my family and for my country, that I might live in freedom, that we might gather in a place like this without harassment from the authorities, not controlled by some totalitarian regime. And I'm reminded of places like the Belleau Wood and Tarawa, Guadalcanal and Iwo Jima, where men laid down their lives by the hundreds of thousands so that we could have freedom. There's an awful lot wrapped up in that uniform. And although I've not been able to ever be a part of the Marine Corps, I can imagine that when one puts on that uniform, one has a sense of being a part of something bigger than themselves. They wear that uniform and they are reminded of the countless many who have come before them. And they're reminded to stand a little taller. And I suspect that those who understand all that is implied by wearing that uniform that they work hard to be people of integrity and honor, because they don't want to soil that uniform. They don't want to bring irrepute upon the name of the United States Marine Corps. The first time I saw a Marine major, I was 17 years old, and I'll never forget it. He stood at the front of an auditorium of 1,700 high school males, and that man stood ramrod straight, and that uniform glistened, and I was just caught up in the moment to watch him and to look and say, man, that guy's something, as he stood there and he addressed us. Well, when I think on that uniform, I got to thinking a little bit about this passage in Numbers that has been going through my head for literally months. I've been thinking on this passage. I'm so excited and intrigued by what I read here, because it appears that God is giving us instruction. He's giving the people of Israel an instruction, a kind of a uniform for them to wear, a uniform that others will see and that will set them apart, but that will also act as a reminder to them of what they should be focused on, what they should be centered on and thinking about, that they might be pleasing to Him, consecrated to Him. So let's take a look at that passage a little bit. We're in Numbers chapter 15. Now the passage starts off this way. It says, "The Lord said to Moses." Now I like that wording. I like that wording. "The Lord said to Moses." You know, it'd be easy to read a passage like this and say, you know what, this came from the imagination of men, you know, the whole thing where you wear tassels and the like. But it's striking to say, no, this came from the Lord to Moses, and he was to pass it on to the Israelites. This is not of the imagination of men. It's not like they sat around and said, you know, we really need a reminder to us, something tangible that'll help us remember to obey the Lord and follow His commands so that we might be consecrated unto Him. No, God designated this. And I like that because, you know, God says to us in some small way, I care enough about you that I'm going to show you how to please me. By giving this command, it's really an act of grace. It's really an act of goodness on His part. The second thing that strikes me is the intimacy of the moment. As I said, I like passages where it says, "The Lord said," because it reminds me that my God wants to be known. You know, we live in a day and age where spirituality is kind of esoteric. You know, it's kind of mystical. It's really hard to know what God wants. You know, you kind of reach out and search the inner you and all this other nonsense. But the scripture is full of, no, the Lord said that the Lord wants to be known, and the Lord not only wants to be known, but He shows us how we may know Him. And I find that a great encouragement. And we find that desire on God's part both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And it always catches my attention, those passages that say, the Lord said, the Lord said. He spoke to His people. He told them what He had for them. So then we go on and read the rest of this passage. It says this, "Throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels." Now in the Hebrew, the word tassel is tzitzit. T-Z-I-T-Z-I-T. Pronounced tzitzit. "So you're to make tzitzit on the corners of your garments, with a blue cord on each tzitzit. You will have these tassels, these tzitzit, to look at, and you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to God." So what exactly is the command? The command's pretty straightforward. The Lord commanded His people to make tzitzit on the corners of their garments, with a blue cord in each tassel. Now, the tzitzit were placed on the corners of prayer shawls called talit. And faithful Jewish men wore talit. They weren't probably nearly as ornate as this, but they wore them nonetheless. And different branches of Judaism wear them differently. But essentially, when a Jewish man went to prayer, he would bring his prayer shawl with him. He would cover his head. Forms a bit of a tabernacle, does it not? A separation. It's hard to look to the right or the left when you're wearing your prayer shawl. You're looking straight ahead. And the tzitzit are these long tassels that hang down. These are the tzitzit. Now, over the years, faithful Jews decided that some of them would wear this underneath, that they would wear it all day long, not just in prayer. And so they would wear something called the talit gadat. And they would stick it underneath their shirt, and you'll see Hasidic men as they walk about with the tzitzit hanging down. They're wearing their tzitzit, their prayer shawl, with them all the time. All the time. Now, the purpose of the tassels, the tzitzit, were simply as a reminder. So you might ask, well, how exactly does this help to remind them of anything? Well, it helps to know a little of the symbolism of the prayer shawl. The first thing you want to be reminded of is in ancient times, people of nobility, people of royalty, wore robes with large hems and often had many tzitzit attached to them, many of these tassels. So by wearing their prayer shawl with the tzitzit on, they were reminded, the people of God were reminded that they were people of nobility. They were children of the King of Kings. You know, I often have to remind people of that, especially young people that are getting ready to be married. And so you understand you're a child of the king. You understand you're of noble blood, and you need to find somebody else of noble blood. You need to find someone else of faith. Just a reminder, you belong to someone. You are a child of the king. The other thing about that would help them remember is the fact that this would have embedded in it a blue cord. Now, modern Jews don't have that anymore because that blue cord would have been made from a particular type of snail, that blue color. And since that snail is no longer available, for whatever reason, they don't include the blue in the tassel anymore, the tzitzit. But when it was included, that blue would have reminded them of the priestly garments that were worn in the tabernacle. And in Numbers 4:6, we're told that there was a blue cloth covering the Ark of the Covenant. So they would have been reminded of that. And did you know that there was blue curtains adorning the tabernacle that indicated that that tabernacle, that tent, was a house of the Holy Lord, the Holy God? So by looking at the blue cord on their tzitzit, they would have been reminded that they were of a priestly class. They were of a priestly background. And that they were to carry themselves as priests, holy on the outside, but also holy on the inside, that they might serve their God. Of noble birth and of a priestly birth. But you know, it's even more interesting than that, as far as I'm concerned. Because when you think about this tassel, it's designed in a very specific way. And you need to know a little bit about the design of the tassel so you can understand what that meant. You see, the tzitzit is designed in this way. 8 strands. I know I just held up one hand, but I don't have 8 fingers. For those of you who know my gift in math. 8 strands, one of which was blue, double knotted at the top, followed by 7 coils. Second double knot, followed by 8 coils. Double knot, followed by 11 coils. Double knot, followed by 13 coils. Double knot. And then the 8 strands would hang down to make up this. In Hebrew, letters have a numeric equivalent. It's called gematria. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And gematria is a way of looking at the interrelations between words and trying to derive extra meaning from the text. It was something that became highly developed during the rabbinic period after Jesus, but it was something that was certainly present during his day as well. So each of the numbers that are derived that are here are symbolic. So we look at first, we look at the knots and we look at the coils. First, let's focus on the coils. 7, 8, 11, and 13. Together, they made up the numeric equivalent of God is one. This would have reminded the faithful Jew of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Just by looking at the tzitzit, he was reminded of Shema. Then we look at the knots, 5 double knots. Interesting, 5 double knots, 10 commandments. They could work their way down through the knots and be reminded of each commandment that the Lord God had told them to obey. Then the word tzitzit, as well as the knots and the coils together, came up with the number 613. You say, wow, that's fascinating. 613. Where'd they get that? And what's the significance? Well, the significance is, in Jewish tradition, there are 613 laws in Torah in the first 5 books. 613 mitzvahs in the commandments. So as they wore their prayer shawl, the faithful Jew, covering their head, holding the tzitzit, is reminded of his noble birth. He's reminded of his priestly responsibility. They are to be a kingdom of priests, it says in Exodus. They'd be reminded of the 10 words, the 10 commandments, and they would be reminded of all the laws, and they would remember to obey. I have to obey these. And when I obey, I will not turn for the right or the left. I will not follow after the lusts of my heart and my eyes. That was a Hebraism at the time. To follow after the heart, the lusts of the heart and the eyes was to say to follow after anything that might come from the inside or the outside that would detract me from obeying the Lord and being consecrated to him. All that in a set of knots. I like that thought. Now the command is followed up in this way. Oh, no, let me say this. There's another piece to this. Many years later, in rabbinic tradition, in the Talmud, we're told this. The Talmud is basically a commentary on the law. It's a rabbinic commentary on the oral law and the Sinaitic law, the Old Testament law. But eventually in Judaism, it became believed that simply by wearing the tallit and wearing the tzitzit, there was a mediative function between us and Adonai, the Lord God. It was considered that by faithfully wearing your tallit and the tzitzit, that you were considered consecrated and having had fulfilled all of the law. Just by wearing this. The passage goes on and says this. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now that's significant language because that language is used in two specific places. One in Exodus 6:2, where the Lord is reminding Moses that he is the Lord God and he is going to remove the people out of their slavery in Egypt. Again, we see that language in Exodus 20. And in Exodus 20, it's used as a prologue to the giving of the Ten Commandments. So scholars tell us that, you know, it's kind of curious that this language would be used at this point. And they tell us that this must mean that what God is saying is he's given this command, and then he gives this reiteration that reminds them of his faithfulness. So in essence, what he is saying to his people is this. You know what? When I brought you out of Egypt, you weren't faithful. And when I gave you the Ten Commandments, you weren't faithful. But I'm still the same. I'm still the same God. And I am going to remain faithful. And I am going to see you through. And these commands I give, this command I give you to wear these tassels on the corners of your garment as a reminder to you, as an act of grace to remind you to obey me. I'll do my part. I will fulfill the promise that I made to your people. So, The Lord spoke to Moses. The command was given. And then he gives this kind of good housekeeping seal of approval. That I'm faithful. I'm going to follow through. You need to follow through too. So you might be left asking, why don't we wear tzitzit? And what does it mean to me, to you? Well, we don't wear tzitzit to fulfill the law because Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it on our behalf. Remember, Jesus said this, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them. I've come to fulfill them. Jesus' life was a fulfillment of the scripture. And when upon the cross he cried out, it is finished. He was telling us that the law and his redemptive part of it was done. We didn't have to rely on the mediative function of the law anymore to please God. Jesus had completed Torah. He had fulfilled the law. And when we believe on the name of Christ, that fulfillment is imparted to us. And we are told that we are consecrated. We have fulfilled the law in Christ. We don't wear tzitzit because Jesus has become our tzitzit. He is our gracious reminder of God's love. For he is the very radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He is our reminder that we should follow God's commands and love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. I don't need to hold tzitzit in my hand. I have the Savior of the world before me. And it's better than that, because the Spirit of Christ lives within me when I came to him. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, resides within us, a living tabernacle. Now think on this. With the Spirit of God living in us, he is our tzitzit. And with his Spirit residing within us, I would suggest to you that we are now living tzitzit for one another. Think on this. When you're kind to me, not just today, by the way, but when you're kind to me or show loving concern for me, you are really showing me the power of God in your life. You're reminding me of the goodness of Christ. And when we're kind and good to one another, serving one another, in good times and in not so good times, we are again shining out as Christ to each other, an encouragement. When we fall, we sin, and we fall real low, and we turn and we repent, and we acknowledge our sin, and we watch as God begins to uplift us and change us and grow us, that is an encouragement to us all. Because we get to see the power of God's redemptive hand in our lives at the lowest points. We are living tzitzit for one another. It also works in the opposite way. When we sin and we fall away, and we do not turn, and we go our own way, we act as a discouragement to the body. We no longer serve as living tzitzit. And we cause harm to one another, not just because of our sin, but because we need each other. We need each other to be reminded and encouraged and lifted up to remember to obey the commands, to remember to follow God. I don't need to wear a prayer shawl anymore. I've got you. I've got you. I love that. Young people, how are you going to be a tzitzit at school? By the way you conduct yourself. Not the way you conduct yourselves here, but by the way you conduct yourself when you're at school, when you're in class. Will people see the living testimony of your life? Will they see? No, he follows someone else. You don't need tassels. You need the Spirit of God residing in you, drawing you, calling you to him. Oh, you'll be a tassel, trust me. People will know you're different. Moms and dads, you're going to be a living tzitzit for your family. How? By showing what a faithful family does when they come up to hard times. By day in, day out, showing them your love for Christ, showing your children the love you have for Christ, whether things go your way or don't. You're going to be a living tzitzit for your family. Because your children are going to see in mom and dad, in faithful parents, faithful guardians, faithful step-parents, they're going to see the power of God in your life. We are living tzitzit, given to one another. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and glorify God because of it. I like that thought. I like that thought. Makes me stand a little taller. Makes me feel a little more secure about what my job is today and tomorrow. It's kind of a uniform, if you will. I guess I didn't need to be a Marine to stand that way. So we will come to the Lord's table today, and we will be reminded that we are in community to one another, sharing in the same table with the Lord God. And I pray that as we take of that meal, as we feed upon the body and blood of our Lord, as we allow the richness of what he has done for us to indwell within us, that we will be reminded that we are living tzitzit for each other because of what he has done for us. Thanks for listening. Let's pray. My dear Heavenly Father, I can't thank you enough for what you've done. I know in my own life, and I'm sure there are countless stories here of your faithfulness. And Father, I get so excited when I get to thinking about the fact that we are drawn together by the power of your Holy Spirit to be a living example to one another. Father, renew in us the sense of your Spirit's leading. Draw us close to you. And Father God, we pray that we'll never, ever live as though we don't have you. We'll never throw away the tzitzit of our lives, but we'll carry it, and we'll think on it, and we'll allow it to infuse everything we do. And I pray this in the most holy and the most precious and the most awesome name that is, the name of Christ, my Lord. Amen and amen.